When it comes to meth production in Missouri, there's an upside and a downside these days. The upside, the manufacture of meth in the state is down and down sharply, but the drug remains extremely popular and use of it continues due to an influx of cheap Mexican imports. What does this all mean for Missouri? With us to talk about it is Jim Salter. He's a veteran reporter with the Associated Press in St. Louis who just wrote about this for the wire service. And Jim, thank you for taking some time with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be with you.
Well, so much of the time it seems that when it comes to drugs, we have good news and we have some bad news. Let's try to stay on the upbeat side for a moment here, Jim. Meth lab seizures in Missouri are way down these days. Give us a sense of just how much they're down by.
Last year, there were over 1,000 meth lab seizures in the state at 1,045, and that was down almost 500 from 2013. This year, we're on pace for about 630. That was through June, according to the Missouri State Highway Patrol. Now, that could change, but there seems to be consensus around the state that there are quite a number fewer meth lab seizures so far this year.
You know, compared, Jim, to other states across the country, is what we're seeing here in Missouri unusual?
No, in fact, this has been a common trend for the last couple of years in a lot of the high meth states in the Midwest. The Midwest has been particularly hard hit by meth, by homemade meth in the last decade to decade and a half. And typically, Missouri has been among the top three or four states in the number of meth lab seizures, but so has Tennessee, so has Oklahoma. And Tennessee's meth lab seizures are down nearly 50% this year. Oklahoma's are down 33%. Some of the other states, Illinois and some others, are also seeing declines in numbers. And this is despite, continuing high enforcement. I mean, part of the reason Missouri's always been a high meth state is because law enforcement here takes the situation so seriously that they go after the meth labs, and they're still doing so. Jefferson County, Missouri, is the leader in meth lab seizures this year again, as it typically is, and they're not pulling back on enforcement at all. They're just seeing fewer labs.
And we take it so seriously here in Missouri, Jim. Why? What's been the impetus for that?
Because we've seen the destruction that it causes. I noticed this trend, which is why I started reporting about it so much about a decade ago. Every time I covered a serious crime that was outside of the St. Louis metro area, there was always a connection. Well, it was a guy who committed murder because he was high on meth, or a guy, committed a series of robberies because he needed money to buy meth. And, it was really at the heart of all evil, it seemed like, for a while there, and at least in outstate Missouri. Not so much in the big cities because you've got, availability of other drugs like heroin, and particularly heroin right now, but also crack and, other serious drugs. Certainly the people who are abusing prescription drugs are also a big problem, but in rural areas of the state, being able to make your own meth was something that a lot of people who were drug addicted were turning to, because it was fairly cheap, fairly easy, and they were willing to put up with the dangers of explosions and of course the damage that the stuff does to their bodies, just for that relatively short high that it creates. But what has changed now is what you've been seeing in the Kansas City area for many years is that the Mexican meth has become more available. Kansas City, people have always asked me, because we do these stories about meth lab seizures across Missouri, and the Kansas City area typically doesn't have nearly as many as the St. Louis area. And people say, well, is that because Kansas City has less of a meth problem? And it's really not. It's just Kansas City, because of the accessibility to interstate highways, has always had more access to Mexican meth, more so than outstate Missouri.
I'm visiting with Jim Salter from the Associated Press about his stories on meth production in Missouri. Jim, before we go any further here, what is meth exactly?
Well, it depends on how you make it. There are a couple of different ways to make it. For many years, dating back to the 70s, it was made through this very elaborate process, mostly out of Mexico, but also in Southern California. It was called the P2P method, and I'd be lying if I could explain exactly how that worked. But it was a process that became increasingly difficult to make because a key ingredient called, I believe it's pronounced I can't remember.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about, and I can't either.
And I
yeah.
wanted to try.
Yeah.
But that became difficult to get, actually impossible to get in the U.S. It was banned. So that led to a different process that uses an incredibly toxic combination of chemicals, battery acid sometimes, household cleaners. But the key ingredient for the U.S.-made meth is something that's found in a lot of cold and allergy pills. It's called pseudoephedrine.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, that is the absolute necessary precursor for the meth made in the U.S. So as we got into the 2000s and the meth crisis became so extreme, a lot of states began implementing their own procedures to limit the sale of pseudoephedrine.
And we're talking about Sudafed here, the product that,
yes.
that people buy. And lawmakers in Missouri underwent a big effort to crack down on the sale of Sudafed. I buy it sometimes.
Right.
You have to go back now to the back of the drugstore and ask the pharmacist, can I buy a pack of Sudafed, right, or whatever the generic version of it is.
Yeah, actually, nationwide, even the restrictions became pretty strong. You had to there were limits on how much you could buy. A process was begun to track how much was being bought by individuals, and if your name popped up on the list too often, then you were investigated,
yeah.
that sort of thing. Missouri, actually a couple of states, Oregon and Mississippi, have taken it a step further. They have statewide prescription-only sales now
wow.
of pseudoephedrine.
Wow.
And Missouri tried to pass it, but the legislature wouldn't go that far, so several, I think we're up to 80 or 90 cities and counties in Missouri have taken it upon themselves to pass their own prescription-only laws.
Yeah. Let's go back to...
Unfortunately, you can go back and forth, though, but you need, like, St. Charles County, Missouri, for example, does not have one. So, you know, people in St. Louis County can cross that line and get the drug a little easier there. But it's
yeah.
still difficult. There's still the tracking system that makes it harder.
So you talked to us a little bit about what meth is, but people buy it. Why? Why is it so desirable, Jim?
It gives an extreme high, and it lasts longer than some highs. It lasts, from my understanding, it lasts maybe a half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a high that can never be duplicated. The first one is the best one ever, and the second one's not quite as good as the first one, and the third one's not quite as good as the second one.
Why is that?
So that part I don't quite understand.
There's some physiological thing going on.
Yes,
yeah.
There's a physiological thing that happens, and the user is constantly chasing that previous high because every waning high is not as good as the previous one, and you become addicted. The coming down from it is apparently a horrible thing, where you get the jitters and you can't sleep, and you have this itchy feeling all over your body, and then you eventually crash and sleep for days and days. And of course, you know, the toll it takes on the body is as you can imagine, when you're putting battery acid and Drano and other things in your system, you know, your teeth rot and, you know, you become ill. People tend to die much younger than they should. So it's a very terrible thing to put into your system, but that first high is apparently so good that some people are just willing to keep going at it.
And what does it cost these days in Missouri? Do you have any sense of that, or is that always changing?
Well, it changes. If you're making your own, it's relatively inexpensive. You know, all the restrictions from the early 2000s led to this different way of making it. It's called the one-pot method. So instead of having this homemade process in your house where you've got this lab, actually kind of a mini laboratory, you don't need that now. You just take a soda bottle, you mix in your cold pills and your other chemicals and shake it up. It's called shake and bake or one-pot. And it gives you enough to get high one time. And then you repeat the process again.
Hmm.
Of course, you can imagine shaking up that kind of stuff in a soda bottle doesn't always end well. If you try to burp that bottle just a little bit too much and the lid comes off, then it explodes in your face and you've got a serious burn.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which is one of the, you know, some of the experts I've talked to on this story say, you know, it's awful that people are still using meth. They're just as addicted as they were before. They're just buying it from Mexico instead of making their own. But the plus side of that is that when they're not making their own, we're not having all these explosions.
Yeah.
We're not having kids in houses exposed, you know, to the chemicals that get onto the walls and in the carpet and that
yeah.
sort of thing. So even if the number of users is still high, it's not, you know, it's still a step in the right direction, I guess.
That's the voice of Jim Salter. He covers various issues for the Associated Press over in St. Louis. We're talking about meth production, meth use in the state of Missouri. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. So, Jim, you were mentioning just a little bit ago, so fewer labs are being busted. There's less production of meth in Missouri. But now the Mexican drug cartels have swooped in here to fill the void. Tell us a little more about what's happening on that end.
Well, they're seeing an opportunity, basically. Mm-hmm. The cartels are, you know, obviously they're illegal businesses, but they're very big businesses, and they've done the same thing with heroin. We've seen this incredible increase in the number of people using heroin in recent years, and that's translated into hundreds and hundreds of deaths every year in Missouri. And that's because the cartels have found a way to make it cheaper and more pure. You know, the heroin that you buy today is much more pure than it was when, you know, you think of the hippie days from the mm-hmm. 60s and 70s. And it's also much, much cheaper. So now that they've, with the P2P method still legal in Mexico because of the availability of the chemicals, they've gone back to that system. And they're making meth that old-fashioned way. And they're finding that it's far more pure than it used to be. One of the DEA experts I've talked to said that in 2007, Mexican meth was about 39% pure. Now mm-hmm. it's essentially 100% pure, which mm-hmm. means that you can use less of it and still get the high you want, and it's far less expensive. It's become almost as cheap, if not as cheap now, to buy meth that's made in Mexico as it is to make your own. And you don't have to worry about getting caught at a pharmacy. You don't have to worry about it blowing up in your face.
Yeah. And people are wondering, I'm sure, how's this meth getting into the Midwest? How's it getting into Missouri from Mexico?
It's getting into the U.S. just like the other drugs are. It's you know, it's hidden under trucks or brought in by people who are bringing it in illegally. The usual route, and of course that's part of the concern in Kansas City or in St. Louis and other big cities, because we tend to have a lot of interstate highways, and you know those tend mm-hmm. to be the drop-off points. So that's part of the reason that the issue is of growing concern, I guess, in the big cities.
You pointed out in your story that nearly a quarter of the seizures this year have been in Jefferson County, which is just south of St. Louis. Why is that?
It's a very aggressive county. They, you know, they've long recognized the problems that meth cause. Jefferson County's kind of right on the line between being a metropolitan area and then going into the kind of the outstate area of southern Missouri. So they've got a little bit of both. They've got a little bit of the Mexican. They've got a little bit of the homemade meth. But it's mm-hmm. it's always been a high meth county because it's heavily populated. And there are just a lot of users there, and in large part because the police force there is just very aggressive toward ridding the county of that problem. Same in nearby Franklin County, which has always been a high mm-hmm. Meth county. But they've sort of turned their attention to heroin and some other drugs because they've seen a lot of heroin fatalities in Franklin County.
You know, you also pointed out that the number of meth labs aren't declining everywhere. Where are the numbers up, or at least maybe staying the same across the country?
A couple of states in particular, Michigan is about the same as it was, and Indiana is actually seeing an increase. Hmm. And the state meth suppression director in Indiana thinks it's a pretty simple reason. They just haven't taken the same steps that other neighboring states have taken to limit pseudoephedrin pills. They believe it all comes down to that one issue, mm-hmm. How aggressive you are in controlling your pseudoephedrin.
So what's the overall reaction to these developments, the fact that production is down in Missouri, the cartels are bringing more of it in from Mexico? What's the overall reaction from law enforcement, that the folks that you're talking to, Jim?
Law enforcement sees this as a slight positive. It's not 100% positive because you still have a lot of people addicted, but they feel like they can maybe take steps to control incoming meth easier than they can, you know, trying to weed out all these meth labs that could be, you know, in a car, in a home way out in the wilderness. It could be out in a park. It could be anywhere. It's just almost impossible to track down every meth lab. But it's a little easier to keep tabs on what's coming in and out of the highways. So there's cautious optimism that this will actually lead to a decrease in this problem.
Well, Jim Salter, again, is a veteran reporter with the Associated Press. He's coming to us this morning from St. Louis. And Jim, thank you for your time. I've long admired your work, and I sure appreciate you taking a little bit of time with us today.
Anytime. My pleasure.
Thanks. You bet, Jim. Thanks so much.